You're listening to the Sound Atlas.
Take that out. I can take it out.
All right.
You know, Tommy Starr hanging out with you on the Sound Atlas and in the studio with me today. Robert, I'm going to let you introduce yourself if you would.
My name's Robert Baxter. I'm a co-owner of Spillway Bar and Grill.
That's right. Spillway Bar and Grill. And that's probably going to be the bulk of what we talk about today is Spillway Bar and Grill. Is that okay?
That's fine with me.
Yeah. But before we get to that, I want to get to know you just a little bit, if that's cool.
All right.
Are you from Bowling Green?
I am.
Born here in Bowling Green.
Born in Bowling Green.
Yeah. What school did you graduate from?
Central.
Central. Can we ask what year?
90.
Okay. Yeah. You're still a pretty young fella. 1990 graduated. Did you play any sports or anything in school?
I played football my freshman year, but of course, like a lot of other kids, to get a vehicle, I had to work. So
yeah,
I started working.
Had to do stuff. Had to help take care of the family. And right. Then once you start getting that paycheck, you're like, hey, man, it's kind of cool to miss football practice and go to a job, which I get a paycheck for.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you're married and you have children.
Right.
How many children do you have?
Five total.
Five children.
Yep.
You've been busy. So what's it like to be a dad? I'm not a dad. What's it like? I mean, it's great.
Actually, it's probably my greatest achievement. There's nothing like being a dad, having a great family.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't give anything else for it.
So you're a dad. Where do you work? What's your day gig?
Actually, I'm just got promoted at work. I'm an engineer tech at Kobe Aluminum.
Mm-hmm. Now, what exactly do they do out there?
We make a lot of the arm parts and stuff for cars. Basically, it holds the car to the road. So a lot of the suspension and all that.
Okay. How did you get involved with something like that?
Well, I've actually worked in maintenance. I went to school for maintenance back in straight out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I got into that, worked at Lord Corporation for quite a few years. I actually bought the bar. And then I thought, well, you know, I'm just going to do the bar thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't quite work out the way I expected. So I had to get back into the factory and, of course, good insurance benefits and stuff like that. So maintenance is something I always liked doing. Mm-hmm. I was always good at tearing stuff apart, just not real good at putting it back together sometimes.
Yeah.
So that's, it's been a good career for me.
Now, I've heard folks say they went to school for, did you say you went to school for maintenance?
Yeah.
What exactly is that go to school for maintenance? What do they teach you to do there?
It's a lot of motor controls and stuff like that. They just teach you the basics of, you know, working on things. Well, actually, straight out of high school, I started working for my uncle that owned KD Electric. So mm-hmm. I started doing electric work first,
mm-hmm.
and that really got me interested. You know, it's pretty amazing when you can do something and flip a switch and the light comes on. Makes you feel like a great accomplishment.
I did that.
Yeah. So it got me more involved in being a maintenance tech. Of course, in maintenance, you know, you tend to make a little bit more money.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been a good career.
Well, I mean, you're supposed to know a little bit more than the rest of us, right?
Supposed to.
That's right.
That's a key word.
We know how to flick a switch on this machine, but you're like, I know how to work on this machine over here, that machine over there, right?
Right, right.
That's pretty cool. So how long now have you been in that?
I've been doing maintenance total for about 8 or 9 years, but now I've been at Kobe Aluminum for 3.
Mm-hmm.
So there was about a 4-year span between quitting at Lord, just doing the bar thing, and then getting back into the factory.
So you were full-time guy, then you got the bar and thought, okay, I'm going to do this because I've kind of had enough of that for a while. You did the bar kind of full-time for 3 or 4 years.
Right.
And then we're like, well, I can maybe do this, and maybe I need to get a full-time gig again.
Well, like everybody else, the insurance wasn't very good,
mm-hmm.
you know, doing the personal insurance, very expensive.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, I didn't want to stay out too long in case I did want to get back into that field.
Mm-hmm.
Being out too long would have been harder to, you know, find a job, which, of course, now if I knew maintenance techs was going to be in high demand like they are now,
mm-hmm.
then I wouldn't have been so worried about it.
So if maybe somebody's listening right now, somebody in their 20s, maybe trying to think of something to do for a career, you're saying that's not a bad way to go.
No, not at all. It's provided some great things for my family.
Yeah. And plus, you said in demand. It's always good to have a job that's in demand.
Yes. There. I mean, we actually have probably about 40-something maintenance men where I work, and we can't find enough.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys are busy, busy, busy.
Yeah, it's a great field for somebody, you know, that's interested in doing something like that to get into in school.
How many hours a week do you work?
Anywhere from 40 to 50.
Mm-hmm.
But now, when I first started, you know, I was gung-ho.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually working 12-hour days,
mm-hmm.
going to school 4 hours a day, and also coaching 4 kids in, and sports.
Man.
So I was spread pretty thin when I was younger.
Yeah.
But I was younger, I could handle that.
Well, sure. So the bar, we need to talk about the bar, because the bar is, you know, it's this podcast is basically connected to the local music scene.
Right.
And Spillway Bar and Grill has had a lot to do with the local music scene. Now, when was it that you originally bought the bar?
I actually bought the bar a little over 10 years ago.
Okay.
So
was it, was Spillway at that time? You just knew ownership is all.
Yeah, the bar, Spillway actually opened up the day Becky's Place shut down. I don't know if a lot of places, people remember Becky's Place.
I do.
Actually, her son and another guy opened up Spillway the day she shut down to keep that crowd over in that area. Plus, you know, when you have a bar business, you make a lot of friends, and they was all like, oh, we need somewhere to go. So they opened a place up, already had the clientele, basically, you should say. Mm-hmm. And then her son owned it for a while, and the guy that he was in partners with bought him out.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom's pretty much been there from day one, because she actually worked at Becky's Place too.
Mm-hmm.
And so just seeing her kind of work there and stuff like that just got my interest. So ended up buying it.
Yeah. So again, year wise, when did Spillway, about what year did it open?
Spillway opened in 98.
98, and then you took it over about 10 years ago.
Yes.
In, say, 2008.
Yes. Right in, well, I think it was actually November of 2007, maybe. Mm-hmm.
You just had your 10-year anniversary not too long ago.
Yes. Actually, we just celebrated a 20-year anniversary for Spillway.
Yeah, for the whole bar overall.
Yes.
Pretty cool.
Yes.
So let's talk a little bit about the everyday run-ins. How do you run a bar?
Well, actually, luckily, I've got good staff.
Mm-hmm.
My mother, like I said, she's always been a huge part of Spillway. You know, somebody that you can depend on and trust is a huge thing for a bar business.
Yeah.
So she's pretty much been the bread and butter of Spillway.
I can tell if you keep it together, it should be your best buddy.
Yeah.
But boy, if you step out of the line, uh-oh.
Yeah, we actually don't have, you know, a lot of people consider it as a rough bar and all that, but we actually don't have bouncers. She does that.
I've never had any trouble out there whatsoever. And any time that I see her, I know it's all good.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of people actually feel that way. They're like, well, as long as your mom's there, I'll be okay.
That's right.
Even if she's not, they're still fine.
Because it's kind of like if you do something, you get in trouble and she gets on you. It's like your own mom getting on you or something.
Exactly.
And you just feel like about an inch tall. You're like, man, I just got in trouble. Debbie just came right over and tore me a new one. I guess I need to go home.
Well, you couldn't imagine how many people I've had to tell me, man, your mom threw me out last night, or I seen your mom do this or that. And, you know, the hardest thing for me sometimes is to sit back and watch things happen and let her handle it, because, of course, being her son, you always, you know, are worried. But she can handle herself very well.
Yeah, she's cool. So it's good to have people to trust. You got some good people there. So every day, give us like a typical day, as in a day where you do things like you're putting in a liquor order, or you're paying out your employees. Give us a kind of a rundown of how things run in the bar business.
Well, luckily right now, my sister and brother-in-law just bought into the business.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was me and my ex-wife that bought it 10 years ago. My sister and brother-in-law just bought her out back in November, actually about the 10th year anniversary. And so we, and my wife now is really involved. So they do a lot of that stuff, handle that more. Of course, you know me, I'm pretty much on the music side, the marketing side, and all that. But I've got a hand in just about everything.
Yeah.
I guess you gotta. But it's hard to keep up with all. So it's great to have people like that, too, that help. So I'm not just the main, you know, person that runs Spillway. I've got a lot of help. And a lot of people don't understand that. They just see, you know, me booking the shows. I'm basically the one that does all the marketing and things like that. So they just see me in the limelight, and they don't realize the people that is behind that light that is doing a lot of work, too. So I've been luckily got some good people that help me.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned you pretty much take care of the music. You book the bands and such things like that. How does that work? How do you book a band? Do they contact you? You contact them? Anything like that? How does it work?
You know, it's really It's a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have people message me all the time. I mean, I get emails daily for bands wanting to play. A lot of bands I've never heard of. You know, mm-hmm. of course, they're just like everybody else. They're just looking for that next spot down the road. A lot of touring bands.
How did you get on their radar?
You know, really, I don't know. I guess it just kind of fell in my lap, but I did it. In the beginning, I did a lot of work. You know, mm-hmm. it took a lot. And my first, I would say, actual big show that I did or touring show was with Wayne Mills. I don't know if you ever heard of Wayne Mills, mm-hmm. but Wayne Mills actually opened for Jamie Johnson at Western.
Oh, wow.
And we did a little sponsorship down there. And my mom actually went to the show. I didn't get to go. And heard Wayne. And come back to the bar, and she's like, you know, you need to try this guy out. You need to try to get him in there. And I had a lot of people that went to the show and was saying the same thing. So, actually, that's how I got into it. The first show that I did with him, you know, watching the people's reaction, you know, nothing against our local bands, but it's something different that mm-hmm. we brought in. Mm-hmm. And just seeing people's reaction, and after the show, everybody telling you, oh, how cool it was and this and that. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe we can do more. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of been addictive ever since then. I keep telling myself, there's a lot of times I tell myself I'm done, I'm getting out, because it's a lot of stress. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of work. I get emails, text messages, I mean, just all day long. Mm-hmm. Even working a full-time job, trying to spend family time, I'm still constantly, I get ragged a lot about being on my phone, but my phone is... It's my livelihood as far as the bar, because mm-hmm. I deal with so many people.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned, what was the name of the gentleman you said you brought? Wayne?
Wayne Mills.
Wayne Mills. And what year was that? Was that right at the beginning when you...
Oh, I can't. To be honest with you, I can't remember. I'm wanting to say it was around 2012. I didn't start doing it right when we bought the bar business. It took a little while to get in there and start, and even feel comfortable with doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
And actually, I mean, the story behind that is, I don't know if you know, Wayne Mills actually got shot in the head in Nashville by the bar owner that was fixing to do the bar rescue thing. And kind of not funny about it, but, you know, the guy that actually did that
mm-hmm.
was a guy that was in one of Jasmine Cain's music videos. His name was Chris.
Really? Do you mean shot him as in killed him?
Killed him. And actually, Shooter Jennings was down there hanging out with Wayne, and Shooter Jennings played our bar the next night that happened.
That is wild.
It's kind of a wild story there. And Wayne, actually, me and Wayne was in the talks of doing another show,
mm-hmm.
And then all that happened. But, you know, he's what got me into doing this. I mean, mm-hmm. it was a great show. And just... interacting with him, you know, and also once you start working with a few of those agencies and you reach out to them,
mm-hmm.
they start contacting you when they have people come through.
Yeah.
Like I said, a lot of it is, you know, looking for pickup dates, which is basically, like you said, they're on the road. Mm-hmm. We're right off I-65, you know, and they're looking for a place to stop and play because it's better than sitting in a hotel room.
Exactly.
Of course, unfortunately, we get a lot more turn downs than we get success on mm-hmm. a lot of those shows, but that's just the way it works. I mean, I hate turning artists down. I mm-hmm. really do, but unfortunately, a lot of these artists that message me, they might be well known in other places
mm-hmm.
and but not here. So I know it's just, you know, we're not the venue that's packed out with people every night.
Well, I mean, as a business owner, you have to think, am I going to make any money off this? Because that's why we're open, is because this is a business.
Right. I could actually book live music 7 days a week if we had, you know, Bowling Green just can't support it as far as capacity wise. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not like Nashville that's got 1 million people capacity or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at, what, 60 or 70,000 people, and weeknights are hard. You're just basically not going to get many people out.
I don't know if you would do this, but can you throw out some names of folks you've had to turn down?
Well, actually, I hate to announce some of them because you're probably going to be mad. You know?
No.
You know, I've turned down the Bullet Boys, you know, and the cool thing about this is I've gotten to work with a lot of bands that I grew up listening to music, you know, too. And, you know, for instance, like Jeff LaBar from Cinderella. I mean, that was like one of my favorite bands growing up, mm-hmm. and then getting to bring him in and see him on our stage was yeah. just, it was mind blowing for me. And it's, like I said, it's also addictive. Mm-hmm. And I'm, after that, I'm already thinking, who can I get next? You know? So, but Bullet Boys is one of them. I've turned down shows. We've done shows with Save and Able and them before, and I've actually turned down shows. And it's not because, like I said, it's not because I don't think that they're good bands.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the nights that they're wanting the shows. I just know mm-hmm. that, and the money-wise, it just wouldn't work out.
Mm-hmm. So if you knew that folks would come out and support these shows, then you would have more of these types of shows.
I would have music 7 nights a week if yeah, I knew the people yeah. would come out and support. And I'm not blaming the people for not coming out and supporting.
Well, no, because
I
not
know.
Everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I work.
Yeah.
I've got kids.
Sure.
It's hard to get out every
right.
night of the week. And that's why the shows that you are able to go to and the shows that we do book, that's why it's so crucial to actually try to get out to those shows. Because, mm-hmm. you know, like I said, right now, some of the music scene, you know, like the country acts that is traveling with, like Cody Jinks and, you know, these big names,
mm-hmm.
they're looking for the small venues to get their name out and stuff like that. And I'm turning a lot of them down because I know, you know, like I said, nobody really knows who they are. So, and the funny thing is, and I hate to say this, but Cody was booked at the Spillway,
uh-huh.
you know, and, at the time that I was booking, you know, I was still kind of new at it and kind of the hard butt, I guess you would say, I'm going to do this and that. He was actually on his way from Texas to do a show,
uh-huh.
another one of them shows. And we kind of got into a disagreement over a $400 guarantee,
mm-hmm.
you know. And he was like, well, the hell with it. I won't play. I can't do that. I'm like, okay, cool.
Uh-huh.
And now look at him. He's playing the Ryman and selling it out 2 nights in a row and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, but there was somebody that played Spillway a time or two that did very well not too long after that.
Yeah, I can say Chris Stapleton most definitely was one of the limelights of booking.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the funny thing is I didn't even know who Chris Stapleton was.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Massey from Boomstick, Left Hand Voodoo and all that. You know, he's always been real good at, like, hitting me up, say, hey, man, this is somebody you might want to check out.
Mm-hmm.
And him and Shane actually turned me on to Chris Stapleton. And then, and still, I didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
And then the first time I seen him was like, man, this guy is amazing. And as soon as he got done, we was already trying to work on another show.
Uh-huh.
And the funny thing is after Chris's second show, I was in talks with his management agency. We was looking at doing a once-a-month singer songwriter type show set up with him.
Nice.
At Spillway.
Yeah.
And then the next thing I know, boom, he's
so
huge.
So he played twice.
Yeah.
Twice at Spillway. Do you happen to know, I mean, I don't know if you know the dates or not, but like the years, you know?
I don't, because I'm terrible at that. It all yeah. seems to kind of run together, which yeah. I've got flyers hung on my wall, but still the dates, it's just hard for me to remember. I'm sure there's going to be people that can just spit it out
yeah.
like that, but
yeah.
it just all seems to run together for me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and plus, I'm terrible with dates. Now, if you ask me right now when the next band so-and-so plays, I can probably tell you that date.
Uh-huh.
But in the past.
Because you've been you're working on it.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like, and I can't really say, but, well, I probably can say because by the time this airs,
uh-huh.
it'll be a done deal anyway. But like Texas Hippie Coalition,
mm-hmm.
you know, working on a show with those guys. I've got 70-something emails that where we've just went back and forth, you know, trying to work these shows out. So it's a lot of time involved in it. And mm-hmm. then once that's done, mm-hmm. the hard part really gets started, because then you got to, you know, you got to work, do your contracts, you do your riders, you do your events, then your ticketing, and then it's just a big process.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of people, all they think is, oh, it's just booked. You do it and you pay them. It's done.
They show up. You give them 50
yeah.
bucks. Here's a free beer, some wings, right. and they're all out of there.
Yeah,
there's
more
paperwork.
There's a lot more that goes on behind the scenes than there is actually on the scene.
Yeah. So the behind the scenes really is the hard part.
It's the stressful part.
Yeah.
But watching people's reaction and getting to see that on our stage, no matter how hard it is putting a show together, it all pays off when you get to see that.
Yeah. Now, I know you've brought a number of bands through. Some that I've been to have been home runs, and then some you're like, nah.
Right.
You know, but that's just part of the business,
yep.
right?
Yep. And, you know, the weird thing is, you know, some of these artists will bring in 50, 75 people will show up. They'll play two, three, 4 hours down the road, mm-hmm. and they're playing in front of 2,000-3,000 people.
Yeah.
So, it, like I said, Bowling Green's just a tough market because we're, to me, I feel we're right in between Nashville and Lexington mm-hmm. and Louisville. So a lot of people are going to catch those shows before they drive all the way to Bowling Green. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of the stops are Nashville, Bowling Green, Louisville, Lexington. So the people that live there is not going to be driving to Bowling Green more than likely to see those shows.
Well, also, if you're a fan of a particular band, and let's say that band is regular in Louisville or Nashville, when they go on tour, they usually make stops there. To me, if it's a band that I'm really into, if they're playing kind of an, you know, off the road, I'll say, I don't, not that Bowling Green, you get what I'm saying?
Right.
Off market, we'll say.
Right.
I would kind of rather go to that show if it's not too far.
Right.
Because that's a little bit more special.
Right.
So, right. I mean, but that's just me.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and that's the way a lot of people look at it. To me, too, you know, some of our tickets have to be priced higher than what you would see them in at Nashville, say the Basement or somewhere like that, because mm-hmm. their capacity is a lot more, and plus they got a lot more people they know that's going to show up. So, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people look at it maybe like, well, your ticket prices are too high, but based on my capacity, that's what we have to sell our ticket prices for. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, a lot of people don't realize is the management agencies and stuff, they tell you what to sell your tickets at. Mm-hmm. You know, not all of them, but some of them. So, you know, there's a madness behind all of it. Mm-hmm. And I would basically rather pay a $50 ticket price and see them in a venue that's small than I would a $10 ticket price and see them somewhere that you're 200 feet away, mm-hmm. you know, or something like that. And so that to me is, it's tricky.
Mm-hmm. Plus, some people want to meet them and stuff like that. And sometimes they'll do stuff like that at smaller venues.
Most of the time we don't demand, but we really ask, mm-hmm. you know, because if you got people paying tickets to see a band, mm-hmm. I think, and they support those bands, they buy their merch, their CDs, they spread their music, mm-hmm. you know, they deserve it. Mm-hmm. Now, some you got that just will not. They're divas. They want to get back on the bus, don't want nobody to bother them. Uh-huh. But I would say 90% of the bands that we booked has always been willing to come out after the show and sign autographs, take pictures and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. What are some favorite shows that you've had?
Well, my highlight, and I was thinking about this the other day, and it really is a no-brainer, but probably my highlight of booking shows at Spillway, and this is nothing taken away from our local bands because I love our local bands, and this band's actually local, basically, but was the Cheaper to Drink Alone video that Blackstone Cherry did.
I knew you were going to say that.
I mean, to me, it was the ultimate. And I don't know.
It was an honor.
I don't know that there's much or anything that can top it because, well, of course, we got to hang out with Lizzie Hale all day, mm-hmm. you know, from Hailstorm. And, but those guys are just, they're amazing.
If people are listening and they're like, okay, I'm not 100% sure what he's talking about, explain to him what happened, what this is.
Well, actually, Judd, which hit me up, but Blackstone Cherry did their Cheaper to Drink Alone video at Spillway. Mm-hmm. They was kind of skeptical about asking me to do it because they was afraid that I wouldn't want to miss a day of sales or business to allow them to do that. And I was like, look, I'm just telling you right now, I don't care what day it is. If you ever want to do another video, don't you make sure you ask, because uh-huh. I will shut it down in a heartbeat. And it was just, like I said, we took all day. We shut the doors down. They came in. We had to move all the tables out of the bar. You know, Wade Ford come in and did his lights and all that stuff. And I mean, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And then the really cool factor about it was, which we couldn't announce and couldn't advertise as that, but you know, they even put on a little show for all the people that was in the music video.
Mm-hmm. So they came in, they set everything up. They through the day, they shot scenes for the video and all. And then later that night, they did a full, kind of a mini show, I guess, really,
right,
for everybody.
Yeah. And, yeah, you know, funny thing is I've been trying to get those guys on my stage for a long time. But I respect the fact that, you know, they like to keep their stuff local at Glasgow because mm-hmm. it's a charity thing that they do down there most of the time. And I've probably been turned down by them guys more than any band that I've ever tried to book. But I don't take it personal because I understand.
Yeah. They're just busy.
Right.
But I think it all came full circle with that video shoot, huh?
Yes, it did. I mean, it most definitely helped us. I mean, and the really cool thing about it is it got us a lot of attention from across the pond, I guess you would say, you know, Europe, Switzerland and stuff like that, because Blackstone Cherry is so big over in those areas.
Yeah.
I mean, we've actually, I had a Facebook post here a while back from somebody in Switzerland that said they heard that if you ever come to over this way, that Spillway was the best place to get wings. So it's not nice. Just music, you know, it's the wings and stuff too. So it really did a lot for us.
Yeah. So everybody, you got to go to Spillway Bar and Grill once in a while. And if you're able to maybe put your foot on the stage, well, that's kind of holy ground for Blackstone Cherry fans. Right.
Yeah. And we actually, Todd Klein, I don't know if you know him. He's actually got a page in a group called Cherry Heads. And last year we actually did a Cherry Head reunion there. So it's kind of a staple, you know, for those people. Nothing to take any other place away from it. But, you know, we've actually got some cherries that we soak in some alcohol that we call cherry bombs, and you know, I've got a big display of the poster and stuff from the video, and a guitar hung up from where they signed it. So a lot of people that are their fans like to come in and, you know, take pictures of that, or you know, a lot of people tell me now it's on their bucket list just for the fact that, you know, that's where the video was shot. So
that's nice.
It was you know, I can't never thank those guys enough for giving us that opportunity.
Yeah. Now let's talk a little bit about local music. What are you looking for as far as local bands? Any particular genre? Or?
Well, you know, I grew up listening to everything. I like all genres of music. I mean, when I work out, I probably listen to gangster rap more than I do anything, because it just gives me, you know, or heavy metal. Now, we've booked everything. I mean, we try to help out all the local artists, but there's just some things sometimes it just doesn't work out. And it's really hard for me to tell them no, but I know up front it's just not going to be, you know, it's just not going to work out.
It's nothing personal. Right. It's just you're a businessman and you have to think about that.
Right. Yeah. Well, one of the things that makes it harder for us is that we're an actual restaurant too. So we have people that come in and just, you know, want to eat and this and that. And sometimes if it's not the music that they like, they'll get up and leave, or they won't come in and eat. So, and you're not going to please them all. That's one of the main things I've learned in this business, is you're not going to make everybody happy no matter what you do. But we try. And that's something I do take a little personal, is if you get up and leave our venue, then it's not good for me. You know, it's money that was going to be spent. So we've cut back a little bit. I mean, and I don't want to call out any genres of music, but you know, the real heavy stuff just sometimes doesn't go well. And the funny thing is I love heavy metal. I mean, you know what, but heavy metal, I don't know, it seems like nowadays the music is trying to get separated and split up. I mean, you know, back in my days you had pretty much rock, you had country, you had hip-hop. You know, now there's so many sub genres that are coming into play, and it's real, music has really made a big disperse of in all directions, you know. But to answer your question, we try to support it all, but sometimes it's just not possible.
I think that you guys have one of the best stages in South Central Kentucky. And I noticed last time I was in, looks like you've added some lights.
Yeah, Wade again has come in. You know, to have a good stage, you got to have lighting.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something that we've lacked in the past, which when Wade used to run sound for me years ago, he always had lights there. And then he's had to step down. And it also just gives you that full concert effect. You know, I mean, it's not.
It really does.
It adds to it. And I mean, if we're going to have good sound, we need good lighting.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a big part of a show, to make it feel like that concert, because we don't want it to feel like you're just coming in and listening to music. You know, we want you to feel the music. We want you to leave there thinking, man, that's the best show I've seen.
Little,
you know,
show on your show, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, we've added lights. And you know, when I first started booking there, when I bought it, it was all, you know, all the bands brought their own PA system. It was fine, but you can take a good band and put them in front of a bad PA and they just don't sound good. Take a bad band and put in front of a good PA a lot of times and they sound better. If that makes any sense. So, and I wanted to be more consistent on us controlling the sound, you know, so Plus, it's easier for the bands. If they don't have to carry all that gear, they're willing to maybe play for a little cheaper or this or that. And plus, at the end of the night, it's easier for them to pack up and leave. So Brian Wilkinson, I don't know if you know Brian. You probably do, I'm sure. He decided one day, like, man, I'm going to help you out. So thankfully to him, he's what actually started the sound at Spillway. He come in, set it up, installed it, and run sound for me for a little while. So that's what got it all started.
Yeah. Well, you've had some good people come through there. Some that, like you said, don't work there anymore. Like Wade. I know Wade pops in from time to time, but he's not the regular guy like he was. And then, of course, Chris. Chris was there. Chris Mitchell was there for a while. And he decided to move to California.
Yeah,
and, unfortunately. Yeah, of course, you. Go ahead and tell everybody who you got now.
Well, now I've got Matt Baker.
He does a good job
actually,
as well.
I'm probably getting ready to have to find another sound guy because he's got a new job now and it's keeping him so busy. It's just hard for him to commit. And we've had other greats. We had Tony Moran. He's helped out, you know, quite a bit. He's always been there for us. And, of course, Brandon Hembest.
Brandon pops in from time to time.
He's a Blackstone Cherry's tour manager and sound engineer.
Back to that Blackstone Cherry.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, of course, nothing against anybody else, but for him to run sound, it's just amazing, you know, because what that guy does, where he goes, and what he sees to run sound in our little bitty venue is, but I think he enjoys it. You know, he has fun.
He always has a smile on his face.
And so he's good. So, you know, Tony's done it for a little while. Brandon's helped out. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else, Chris, Wade. And it's always good. And all of those are superb sound guys. So when you got that type of arsenal to help you, it's good. It's a good feeling. Well, for instance, like this weekend, I've got a Led Zeppelin tribute band coming in, and they require a little bit more sound and this and that. And Matt was like, all of a sudden, wasn't able to make it. So I've done messaged Wade and done messaged Brandon. And I was like, hey, I need, luckily Brandon's in town. And he was like, yeah, I can help you out. So.
Cool. So what's the best thing about owning a bar?
The best thing I would say is being able to hopefully make a difference in some people. You know, like I said, music touches a lot of people. And to watch people's reactions and to hear the feedback on shows, to me, is the best thing. I mean, yeah, we got people coming and say, man, your food's good and this and that. But again, music, I mean, can change your whole outlook on everything. You know, I think a lot of people turn to music in times of need, you know, stressed out or whatever. Music does a lot.
Music can be a constant companion.
Right.
For pretty much any situation in life or however you feel, whether you're happy or sad or whatever. It's kind of like always there for you.
Right.
Well, we're just about ready to wrap it up. Let me ask you, do you have anything coming up towards the end of the year? As far as, I know it's a little early, but are you already working on like some stuff in late December, maybe New Year's Eve?
Oh, I've already got my New Year's lineup. Do you not know?
Well, okay, well, I'm want to know if you want to tell everybody about
it. Well, we've announced it. We've actually got the Josephines playing our New Year's Eve party. And actually, they will be joined with a band called Axe and Oak. And then actually Clayton Crowder. We'll be opening up with a mini acoustic set.
So you got a lot of talented folks right there.
We've already got that lined out. Again, I'm working on a show with Texas Hippie Coalition. If you haven't seen those guys,
they're a lot of fun.
And actually, I think this podcast will come out right before that show. So it'll be a good little. So make sure to get tickets. Who else? I've got a show at the end of this month and, with a guy named Alex Williams, which is an upcoming country artist that is actually. On the road with Whitey Morgan and stuff like that. Of course, we're Steel Woods.
Coming back?
They hit me up like 2 days after that show. And like, man, we would like to come back. So, and to me, that's a good feeling. When you've got these agencies like this after a show that's already hitting you up for another show, you know you're doing something right.
That's true. Now, do you have anything that you want to add or any final thoughts about anything?
Well, I mean, all I can basically say, and it doesn't, it's not just Spillway. It's any live music venue, any small business to, you know, get out and support them because that's what keeps them going. You know, it, like I said, I could do music every night of the week and I could bring shows in that are amazing. And if people go out and support them, you can continue to do that.
Sure.
No matter how good an artist is, if you bring them in and three people show up, more than likely you're not going to be able to bring them back because, you know, it doesn't pay out.
Mm-hmm.
And making money on a show isn't always makes a successful show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've done shows that I've lost money on that I still felt like it was a successful show.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the fact of, like I said, just sitting back and watching people and know, I had lead singer. I had Austin John Winkler. A lot of people don't know the name,
mm-hmm.
but it's the lead singer for Hinder.
Mm-hmm.
The original lead singer for Hinder wrote the music. You know, I actually watched him perform one of the best rock songs ever. Mm-hmm. If you ask me, mm-hmm. on my stage, you know, and I can still do that. A lot of these artists, when they split up from bands, you still get the original singers. They go out and do their own thing acoustically or
sure.
or solo.
Mm-hmm.
I turn a lot of those shows down because when you advertise them by their name,
mm-hmm.
people don't know who they are.
Yeah.
They just know them as a band name. And just support those shows because if you want to continue to bring that type of talent to Bowling Green and those shows, people's got to get out and support it.
That's right. It's like any business that needs support. So it can flourish, so we can keep the doors open.
Right.
Yeah.
And the thing about us is you don't have to just come out and support the shows because we sell food too. You can come out and eat. That's the same thing as supporting yeah. Spillway. And it's just a whole, you know, any way you can support the small local businesses and the artists too. You know, uh-huh. when these artists come in, sometimes they don't get paid what they should.
Mm-hmm.
So buying their merchandise and, you know, buying their CDs or, you know, downloading their songs on whatever, that helps those artists get up and down the road.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are overpaid as far as I'm concerned, but there's a lot of them. And the music business is, I mean, it's a dog eat dog world. Mm-hmm. I hate to say it, but it is.
Yeah. Well, that about wraps it up, Robert. Do you want to plug any websites or anything where people can get more info?
We're full of social media. Mm-hmm. I mean, the bad thing is, like I said, one of the things that takes so much away from my time is as of right now, handle all of our social media. We got Facebook at Spillway BG. We've got Instagram at Spillway BG. We got Twitter at Spillway BG. We've got a new website that I can't announce her name because she wants to stay quiet, but she just built our website for us. It's amazing.
Uh-huh.
She actually does some websites for, like, Saving Able, some big bands.
Mm-hmm.
And she done our website for us. So we got a website, Spillway BG. I print out monthly calendars. I mean, I do everything basically just about I can to, get the word out. But unfortunately, social media is not what it used to be neither. So mm-hmm. it's really put a hurting on all of our shows too.
All right. Everybody get out and support local music. Stop in and see Robert and his family there at Spillway Bar and Grill. The last thing I will ask you is if you are sitting here right now eating some wings from Spillway Bar and Grill,
right.
What kind of sauce?
Hot.
Straight up hot.
Just straight up hot.
What are you going to be drinking with it?
Probably water. I hate to say it. You know, that's the funny thing is I don't drink. I never, uh-huh. ever hardly drink. And when I do, it's very rarely. And everybody's like, man, you get to drink stuff all the time. I'm like, you know, honestly, I never drink.
Uh-huh.
And I have no desire to. It's not like I just go down there and hang out and drink.
Yeah,
you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I drink water.